Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and we're broadcasting from 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, WHRULP. And our guest today is Evan Grisandi, the Director of Sales for the Chicago Dogs. Evan, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys you having me.
Well, you're quite welcome. So here's this young baseball team that's that's out there, and I understand that your opening night is sold out.
It was, yep. So it actually happened a couple weeks back on May 12th, Friday the 12th. It was completely sold out. Everybody in attendance got a replica Chicago Dogs jersey. So it was pretty awesome to see, you know, about 6,500 people all in their red jerseys matching the team. It was quite a sight to see.
And, you know, I think what's really important that most people don't realize, the Dogs are in Rosemont, and the work they do with charities is just unbelievable. I mean, if you have a charity or you have an organization that you're working with and you want to find out more information, you get a hold of Evan, the director of sales, and they'll tell you all about the wonderful things they're doing. Evan, I just briefly touched on it, but you might want to tell us more about those charities.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's something we started, you know, in 2018. 2018 was our first season, so, you know, this is our sixth season. But it's something we've been growing is kind of that charitable arm in the nonprofits and charities that we do work with. We work with big and small, right? So on opening weekend, we actually worked with Susan G. Komen for The Cure on Sunday, our Mother's Day game. We played in these pink jerseys, and then we had a silent auction where people could bid on the jerseys, and all the proceeds went to Susan G. Komen. So, I mean, that's a big Susan G. Komen, obviously a big name in the, right, in the charity space, but we work with smaller charities too, right? Everybody around has, you know, something they're raising money for, whether it's a little league team or a veterans organization. You know, we work with a lot of Lions clubs, a lot of Knights of Columbus. So all across the board, there's just many things we can do on charities, big and small, whether it's raising funds, just having a fun community get together. So we've done 50-50 raffles. We've done silent auctions. So there's just a whole gambit of things we can do. And it's nice because we don't necessarily funnel you into one thing. It's something that we work with all of our groups and charities on a one-off basis to find what's going to be most impactful for them, because everybody obviously has different goals. Sometimes it's raising money. Sometimes it's just raising awareness. So there's things we can do on all aspects, and we really take the time to dive in and figure out what's going to be the best fit for each of the nonprofits and charities.
So I'm an organization. How do I go about finding out what I should do, who I contact? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody in our front office, typically I deal with a lot of the charities and the nonprofits, so people can reach out directly to me via email or phone number or going through our website. So as long as they can get in contact with me, really, we talk, we set up a phone call, we talk through options, and like I said, just seeing what is going to be the most impactful thing for them, and then we get a date on the calendar and we put it in motion. So it's really a simple process. We like to make it turnkey. We don't want heavy lifts for these charities or these nonprofits. We want to make it as easy and as simple as possible. So it's really just getting in contact with me, setting up a phone call, talking through options, and then putting it in motion.
So to contact you, what number would they call?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to give you a couple numbers here. We have our direct line, which is 847-636-5450. So that's the overall Chicago Dogs main line. And then if you want to call me directly, my direct line is 224-781-1809. I can also give my email address, which is Evan G, which is EVANG as in George, at thechicagodogs.com. So either way, any one of those ways, get in contact with me and we'll set up a conversation.
Let's do that one more time for the folks in case they didn't have a chance to write it down
quickly. For sure. So the direct line is 224-781-1809, and the email address is Evan G, EVANG like George, at thechicagodogs.com.
That's great. And once they do that, then you'll give them directions on what they can do.
Right. We'll talk through all the options, whether it's, like I said, just getting your group out here or raising money or whatever it may be. We'll talk through all the options, figure out what fits best, and get it on the calendar.
Evan, how did this all come about that your organization is so open to all these different charities like this? How did this all evolve?
Absolutely. So it really started with our owner, Sean Hunter, who you chatted with, what was that, a couple weeks ago, a month or so? I don't remember the time frame, but it all started with him. He's had such this amazing experience in the sports industry. And then when he was able to, you know, create the Chicago Dogs, that was one of his main things, is that he wanted to be able to give back as much as possible, because we are part of the community, and that's what we strive to be. We want to be a place where anybody can come and have a great time, and it's that family aspect and that family environment where people are coming out, they feel safe, they feel comfortable. So it's really all about, you know, Sean's vision of giving back to the community and really being a community partner, as opposed to just being a baseball team, you know what I mean? So it really goes back to just giving back as much as we absolutely can.
Well, when the folks come out, I know there's a lot of things that you do with the kids, face painting and all kinds of neat little things that go on.
Definitely.
And for those charities that come out also, I think what's important is that they should know that after the game is over, I believe they have the opportunity to have contact with the players for autographs and things like that?
Absolutely. So on different days of the week, we have different things going on. So, for example, I'll start with our Sundays. On Sundays, we have pregame catch on the field and pregame player autographs. So kind of a unique thing for us, where anybody who has a ticket to a Sunday game can come on down to the field prior to the game starting, play catch for a while, and then the team and the players and the coaches are actually down there signing autographs for about a half hour. So it's a great environment there, and like you said, just kind of that face time and getting to meet and talk to these players. And the players are so good about it. They want to be in front of the community. They love interacting with not only the kids and the families, but these nonprofits and these charities that we work with. They love just being face to face and interacting, because that's such a big part of minor league baseball. It's not the Cubs or the Sox, where, you know, you see those players as untouchable, things like that, where we're just, like I said, that community basis where we want our players to interact with our fans. But yeah, other than that, I mean, we've got fireworks on Saturday nights after the games. We've got just all kinds of things, and the players are always around, and they're very, like I said, they love interacting with people.
I know too that we've had on this show, we've had Lori's Children's Hospital.
Okay.
And I believe Lori's comes out to the ballpark
as well.
They bring a bunch of children out
they
with
do.
Them.
They do. Yep, absolutely.
And how do you work with those kids when they come out?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's one of those things where on any given day, we have a couple pregame promotions that kids can get involved with. Many times it's a Little League baseball team or a softball team, or these kids from, you know, any nonprofit or charity, where prior to the game, when the national anthem is being played, they actually get to go out and stand with the player at their position during the national anthem. We also have kids who can stand up on the foul lines with the reserves and the coaches during the national anthem. So once again, just that kind of camaraderie and being there and being part of it and being down on the field, which is something that you don't really get to experience all that often. So that's just a great way we work with them, and then a lot of other kids as well.
Now, Evan, how do you accommodate the kids that come there that, let's say, are handicapped or in wheelchairs, things like that? How do you handle that at the ballpark?
Everything is ADA accessible in the stadium. So we've got ramps, we've got elevators that go down to the field level. It's actually one of our biggest charities we work with. It's called Gold Glove Charities. They are a baseball-themed charity, hence the name, and they work with pediatric cancer children. So they come out every year, and they do a huge thing where they go down on the field and they play with the players. They play catch pregame just for this group of kids. And then, like I mentioned, they get to go out and stand with the players during the national anthem. And then what we do, it's called a home run for life. We have a child who comes out, and vividly I remember the one from 2019. He was in a wheelchair. We had one of our players push him around the bases while all of the players stand on the foul lines, and it was just such a emotional and strong moment. It lives on. It's something we think about and we see all the time, and that is what we want it to be. That is our kind of baseline and our expectation for all of our nonprofits, just to have that kind of emotional impact. And that Gold Glove Charities Night has become one of our biggest our biggest nights, just because our fans, our season ticket holders, our groups have come to know that night and what it is and what it entails. And it's just so special. But to answer your question, I mean, we have wheelchairs. They go down on the field. We can take them around the warning track. So many, many options and very accessible.
You know, a scene like that has to put a lump in your throat and bring a tear to your eye, because those kids are not as fortunate as we are.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're suffering with really terrible diseases, and it's really kind of nice to do that, because it's something that it's got to really thrill them to be able to do that. And for the players to participate, too, that's got to bring a real, real joy to their hearts.
It is, and that's it. You hit it spot on. It does put a lump in your throat, and it is emotional, and it's just so cool to see and be a part of and just think about, you know, the impact that it has, you know, for one kid, for all of these kids that come out, whether it be, like, you know, 15 kids or one kid doing this home run for life. It's just that it's awesome. It's cool.
So when these groups come out, then how do you accommodate the seating for them? How does that
work? Yeah, so we have a number of different seating options. All have ADA accessible seating. So we have spots at the top of our sections where, you know, if they come in a wheelchair, they can park their wheelchair, have it right up top, and still have a great view of the game. We also have some ADA accessible options where, you know, that are closer to field level, that you can take the elevator down and it's still very accessible. We always have, you know, companion seating. Should somebody come with a wheelchair and need a companion seat next to them, we accommodate that as well. And then we also have near the top of our section. So our sections are typically about 18 rows down. But if we seat these folks at the top of the sections, you know, they're going down one, maybe two steps at the very most. So we're mm-hmm. very accommodating on, you know, how many steps they need to take, or you don't even need to take steps at all if you're just going to stay at the top of the section.
So if a charity contacts you and says, well, I've got 20 children I want to bring out.
Absolutely.
Are the seats no charge for them?
So typically we work with these groups on a one-off basis. Like I said, there's not really a standard rate card, but what we do is, so typically, overall, we don't discount our tickets. However, we value add. And that's something that's huge for us, is just making that experience so much bigger than just coming out to a ball game. Like I mentioned with the going down on the field with the players during the national anthem, getting a hat, getting a group shout out up on the video board, getting up on the Jumbotron. So it's all those kinds of things that we like to plus up the experience and really make it memorable and just add into that experience. So it's something they never forget.
That's awesome. We're going to pause for a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking with Evan Durande, the Director of Sales for the Chicago Dogs, and telling us all about all the different charitable organizations that come out to the Chicago Dogs and how they handle them, how they work with them, and they're inviting you to contact them to bring your charitable organization out there, because they've got these events that are available for them and all kinds of things going on that make it just a great night. I want to ask you about upcoming promotions.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got something going on basically every day. I mean, we're out of town right now. The team's actually playing down in Texas, in Cleburne, Texas. But we will be back in town starting next Tuesday for a six-game homestand throughout the weekend. But one of the biggest ones coming up that we love to do, it works with our name, is Bark at the Ballpark. It's going to be on Friday, June 2nd, and everybody can bring out their dog to the ballpark. We have it's just grown year over year, and it's such a sight to see.
Now, you know what I'm going to ask you, right? What happens if there's a mess?
We have a cleaning company who is very good at following up on that. And we also have, you know, dog relief areas that they can take them out of the ballpark. But yeah, it's such a cool sight to see. We take all the dogs out on the field. They can walk around the field. It's awesome.
When is that coming up, Evan?
That's going to be Friday, June 2nd. Friday,
okay.
June 2nd.
Well, that's good to know. And how about any other promotions?
Yeah, we've got things coming up all the time. Like I mentioned earlier, every Saturday and every Thursday we have fireworks post-game, which is something fun that everybody likes to come out to. That Gold Glove Charities event that I was mentioning earlier, that's going to take place on Saturday, July 15th. We've also got, you know, days for St. Patrick's Day, a Mardi Gras celebration, you know, Star Wars night, heroes and villains. There's always something going on where we always like to, we love getting people to come out to the ballpark and dress up. We just had Jimmy Buffett night last Saturday. So, you know, you got the parrot heads out there. You had the Hawaiian shirts. There's always something. Right. We love just to get people involved. We have Elvis Night coming up on July 1st. We have a Elvis impersonator, so you can imagine people love to dress up in their Elvis attire. On Fridays, we always do giveaways. So, for example, on Bark in the Park, the first 1,500 dogs are going to get a dog bandana, right? So there's always things. We did a Chicago Dogs umbrella giveaway last Friday, which is, if you know anything about the Chicago Dogs, we always seem to have rain on our opening day and our closing day. Okay. So we figured it was time that we finally do an umbrella, but there's always fun giveaways on Fridays that people love. Saturdays, fireworks, like I mentioned on Sunday, the pregame catch on the field, pregame autographs. There's always things going on at Impact Field.
You know, I had to kind of remind myself that one time I asked you, I said, well, gee, the team plays in Texas. They fly down, and I remember your response saying, oh, no, this is minor league. We take the bus.
Yes, indeed.
That's a long
do.
Way to go from Chicago to Texas.
Exactly. They go all the way down to Cleburne, Texas, and all the way up to Winnipeg, Canada. So
is that a one-day trip?
It is a one-day trip. I don't know how many hours, but I am thankful that I do not travel with the team on days like that. But it is nice in our division. The league has two divisions, the East and the West. It is nice because most of the teams in our division are really right in our backyard, up in Milwaukee, over in Gary, Lake Country, which is in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, obviously the Kane County Cougars. So those teams are nice that are in our backyard. So it makes the travel to Cleburne and Winnipeg at least palatable. And they put it all together so that we only travel down to Cleburne one time a year. So we stay there for six games. As opposed to, you know, making two separate road trips down there.
And how are these young men doing this year?
They're doing great. It's we had a lot of new guys coming onto the team. We had some returning players, but a lot. It's a big overhaul of the roster, and they're playing well. We're currently 8-3. We're on a two-game winning streak down in Cleburne, but the pitching's really good. The hitting's all coming together. They're just playing well. They're really cohesive as a unit. The locker room's great, and that's one of the things, you know, our manager, Butch Hobson, and obviously Sean Hunter, the owner, that's one of the biggest things is we just want to have a group of good guys in the locker room, and that's what it's all about is that camaraderie. Nobody who's, you know, just a poison to the locker room. We don't have that. They get along great. They're respectful to everybody, and that's such a huge part of the Chicago Dogs is just having a good group of people. And that's, once again, goes back to the community aspect of it, because we want them to be involved, and they know that they're the face of this franchise, and they respect that, and they carry the torch and do it well.
Well, you've also got a quality gentleman that takes care of your field, too, because he was formerly with the Cubs, I believe.
That's correct. Yep. Yeah, Justin. He was with the Cubs for a number of years, and he comes in now, and he's taking care of Impact Field great. He has quite the job, because in the off season, in the winter, we run a huge light festival. It's called the Sparkle Light Festival. It's one of the biggest in the countries. Basically, we take over the entire field. There's a plastic covering that goes down, and then we put over, it's over a million lights, whether it's fixtures or string lights or just things to see that people can come in and they walk through. Think of like the Morton Arboretum or even one of the zoo lights, but it's that kind of magnitude. And he has to replace that field every year after the Sparkle Light Festival just because it's dead and underneath. So he's got quite the undertaking.
And, you know, Sean mentioned that to me, and he also said you had an ice slide that you have a blanket or something or a rug that you get on and you go down the ice slide.
Yep. Yeah, it's actually tubes. So it's a huge tube slide, and it's I believe it was two stories.
He was rather comical because he said that every day I go down the slide every day.
Every day he would go down it every day. He'd take videos. He's a great guy to have as the owner of the team because he sees this. It's entertainment first, and it's, you know, baseball in the background in summer, and then in the winter it's the light festival. So it is an entertainment venue, and yeah, Sean loves going down that slide every single day he can.
Now, do some of the charities come off of that ice show?
They
too?
Do, absolutely. So we work with one, it's called Variety of Illinois. So they're a smaller one, but they come out, and once again, a lot of wheelchairs and electric wheelchairs, whatever it may be, but they can still get down there. They can still go through and you know, walk through all of the lights and through all of the different worlds via the elevators and the ramps and things like that. So very accessible, very inclusive, that everybody can still come on out and get to experience it.
Now, I know you have that parking garage right yep. next door. Do they go there if they come on a bus? Is there a location for buses?
There's both, yep. So we've got the parking garage attached to the stadium. It's got 950 spots in it. So we have, obviously, handicap parking in there, but there is a bus drop-off area right in front of the stadium. So it's such an easy kind of in and out. And then we don't have bus parking in the parking garage. However, there's a number of surface lots around, and Rosemont's a great partner with their parking folks and their police in directing, you know, where the buses should park for the event. So yes, many options.
So if a charity comes out, yeah. there's a place for them to for the bus to
yep.
be, have access to the park
yes,
that's close
absolutely.
By for.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Especially if you have children that have handicaps.
Exactly. And that's a big thing on, you know, like our camper days. So we work with a lot of local camps where they come out, and obviously they're all getting bussed in. So the buses can either go, it's no more than a block or two away after the drop-off. And they go, they park, and then the bus driver can, you know, whether they're staying with the bus or coming on in, whatever it may be. So, yes, many options for bus parking, pickup, drop-off. We like to make it easy.
That's, you know, that's something that's really important, because for those kids to be able to get into a ballpark, talk to a player, get an autograph, and be there is something that is really, really important to a young kid.
Absolutely. So we do a couple of camper days, and then we also do a couple of education games. So it was a couple of weeks ago on the 9th, it was actually a preseason game, but we had about 5,000 school-age kids in the ballpark, and everybody comes in, they all get a educational workbook, essentially. It's all STEM, you know, it's math, science, education, reading, you know, and then some fun stuff in there, like a crossword puzzle or a word search. But they come in, and we work with our players to do videos and interviews that helps them work through that workbook. So it is still, it's an educational day, but it's still a fun day out at the ballpark, a different scene, if you will.
So, Evan, who comes up with these ideas, like the one you just mentioned?
We all do. It's quite the team effort. So, I mean, in the off season, we have brainstorming sessions where we come up with what's going to be the next promotion, what's going to be the next giveaway, what's the new fun day we're going to introduce this year. So with our education game, we actually were going to introduce it in 2020. That was going to be our first education game. We had it all set up. We were ready to go. World shuts down. So we kind of pivoted a little bit, and we made it all online and all accessible. So it was a stream of our game, but still the educational side of things. And I think we streamed it out to, I believe, 25,000 or so kids were watching our stream with the game and the education part of it. So it's just been growing every single year. This year we actually are doing two of them, as opposed to just the one in years past. Our next one is actually next Wednesday on the 31st. And once again, we have probably about 5,000 kids coming in, and the players loved it. They, for the preseason game on the 9th, they, because typically preseason
right,
games,
yeah.
it's closed door. Maybe families are in, maybe, you know, 20 to 30 people, but to have 5,000 kids in there for an education game, they loved it. It was quite the scene once again, and it's cool because they all kind of wear matching clothes for their teachers or chaperones so they can see them. So in the seating bowl, you just see all of these different kind of blocks of colors. You know, it's yellow here, it's blue here, pink, green. So it's just, it's awesome. It's a spectacle.
You know, how often do you hear about baseball teams that just do so much for kids and so much for charity and have all these different promotions that are things that the parents have got to love because it's doing so much for their children that come out there, as opposed to just going to a ballpark, watching the game, and that's it. There's more to it than that.
Absolutely, and that's kind of one of the things Sean preaches to us. It's they're going to remember the day out at the ballpark. They probably aren't going to remember the final score. They might not even remember if we win or lose, but they're going to come out. They're going to remember that autograph they got. They're going to remember when they got put on the Jumbotron and everybody saw them dancing or waving, whatever it may be. So, yeah, that's a huge part of it. It's just the memories that we are creating That's the business we're in. We're in the entertainment business to create memories for kids and families and nonprofits and charities. And that's something we love doing it. It's awesome.
Now, is the face painting every game?
Face painting is typically at every game, maybe not on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, but typically from Thursday to Sunday, we have a face painter. And then other times we have a balloon artist there as well. We always have kind of a kid zone area where kids can come in. They can throw the ball. They can run from first to home. They can do a little hitting game. So there's always it's busy over in our kid zone because kids just love being involved. And once again, they might not sit and watch the game the whole time. The parents might. The parents are there to, you know, maybe watch the game, have a drink, but the kids, they're there to hang out with their friends or play baseball or see how hard they can throw it, whatever it may be. So it's great for the parents, like you said, just to have that safe and kind of, you know, trusting environment that people are in and things that the kids can do.
So your mom and dad's out there. Here's a ballpark in a situation where you can really have a good time and the kids will just think it's absolutely awesome. So you should take advantage of it. And if you go to www.thechicagodogs.com, that's our website, you'll get more information. And I think you'll just have a great time. We want to thank Evan Durande, the Director of Sales for Chicago Dogs, for being with us today. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We hope you have a great day and have a great weekend. Thanks, folks. Take care.